For this morning is based on Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is God's word. What's been your greatest spiritual victory? It's okay, you can brag a little bit as you think about this, because I'm going to ask you a humbling question in just a minute. What has been your greatest spiritual victory? Was it for the first time that you got to tell someone about Jesus and they listened? Was it a time when you were standing face to face with a temptation, but you're able to walk away from it? Was it breaking a cycle of negative behavior or even being able to leave behind an addiction? Now for the humbling question, what has been your greatest spiritual failure? Was it not telling someone about Jesus when you knew that they needed to hear it? Was it maybe hiding your faith or even denying your Christian faith? Was it standing there face to face with a temptation, but falling into it? Is it being stuck right now in a negative cycle of behavior, or maybe even being in over your head in an addiction? In our lesson, there were 72 disciples who were appointed and sent out, and they had some great spiritual victories. They were appointed and sent out to go two by two to all of the places that Jesus wanted to visit in the future. They were sent to prepare the way. And at their commissioning, Jesus spoke some words to them that you might be familiar with. They're words sometimes used in a mission setting. Jesus told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Do you know why Jesus appointed and sent out 72 workers into his harvest field? The Jews at the time, they numbered the nations of the world at 72. And so it's possible, we can't say for sure, but it's possible that Jesus sent out 72 missionaries into his harvest field to symbolize worldwide evangelism, the importance of taking the good news to every nation. It's a great reminder for us that all people everywhere need to hear the gospel message. Just to put it into perspective, there are 196 countries in our world today. And that means that if we here at Bethany were going to send out Bethany students to every country, say we were going to do that this summer, that means that almost half of you would be going somewhere. Say we were going to send you out two by two to go to every country in the world, this summer almost every Bethany student would be going somewhere. But let's get back to the 72. The 72 were appointed, and they were sent, and they went out, and they had these spiritual victories. We know that they had these spiritual victories because when they returned, they were so excited to tell Jesus all about it. They told him, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Their evangelism efforts must have been fruitful. People must have listened. They were able to do miracles, and this didn't surprise Jesus. After all, Jesus was the one who gave them their power and gave them their abilities. Jesus reminded them, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." Now, obviously, Jesus, when he's talking about trampling on snakes and scorpions, he's talking figuratively. Snakes and scorpions are a good picture of the devil and the evil forces that are out there in this world. And Jesus reminded them that he gave them power to trample over all those forces of evil. But Jesus also reminded them and told them something else. He told them, "However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Jesus really put things into perspective, didn't he? Why did he do that? Well, because as great as those spiritual victories were that those 72 had, they also had spiritual failure. I ask you to think about the spiritual victories and the spiritual failures that you've had in your life. When you think about them, which of the two do you have more of? I know which one I have more of. I'm a vicar here on campus, it's a pastoral intern. That means that it's my job and my responsibility to teach and preach and share God's word with people. You could say it's my full-time job to work every day towards achieving spiritual victories. And yet at the same time, I know I have more spiritual failure than success in my life. Think about this. Think back to the last time that you had a spiritual victory. Doesn't matter what it was, big or small, just think back to anything in your life that you did that was positive in the realm of your faith. We could say coming to chapel is one, so don't pick that one. But think back to anything in your life, any instance where you did something positive in the realm of your faith. And now you have that there, maybe the date and time in your mind. And now, think back to the last time you had a spiritual failure. Think back to the last time that you went against God's word, that you fell into temptation, that you had the opportunity to do something good, but failed to do it. If you're like me, when you look at your life, you probably have more examples or can come up with more examples of spiritual failure than success. That's because we're all sinners, and really, we're all spiritual failures. When you realize that you're not victorious, what is the reaction? How do you feel when you realize that you failed? Basically, how do you feel when you know that you're a loser? What's the emotional response? Well, normally you're down, right? You're discouraged. But the message today is this. Even though we are spiritual failures, we can rejoice because our names, your name, is written in heaven. Your name is written in heaven, written in the book of life, because of your Savior, Jesus. Jesus was victorious, spiritually victorious for us. Jesus didn't have any spiritual failure, but he paid for yours. This was all part of God's plan from the very beginning. Right after Adam and Eve fell into sin, God promised that he would send a Savior. And he gave some details about this Savior. He said that this Savior would come and he would be bruised on the heel by a snake. He would be bit by Satan. But that ultimately, Jesus, this coming Savior, would crush that snake, would crush the devil. On the cross, Jesus was bit, we could say, by that snake, bit by Satan on the heel. And the pain he felt was worse than a scorpion sting, and it killed him. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. And when he did, he crushed Satan, that snake, forever. He was completely victorious. And it's his victory that makes you victorious. And it's faith in his victory that means your name is written in heaven. The Bible talks a lot about your name being written in heaven. It's mentioned in the Psalms. Daniel, the Old Testament prophet, he talks about all those who have their names written in the book of life will be delivered. The Apostle Paul, he talks about all those who contend for the gospel will have their names written in the book of life. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, talks about those who have their names written in the book of life will have the most amazing, beautiful eternity forever in heaven. And the book of Revelation uses this phrase throughout. And it specifically talks about how Jesus will be victorious, how he was victorious, how he is victorious, and for all those who put their faith in Jesus and his victory, how their names are written in the book of life and they're sealed there. They can't be wiped out. As you go forward and go on with your life, there's going to be moments when you fail, when you get stung by the scorpions and bit by the snakes of this world. When that happens, cling to your Savior Jesus and rejoice that through his victory, your name is written in the book of life. As you go forward and go on with your life, it's not going to be all failure. You're going to have times when you trample on the snakes and the scorpions of this world. But when you do, don't rejoice that the Spirit submit to you. Instead, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. This morning we have a special prayer request for Brandon Egge and his family. Brandon is a student here. His brother passed away unexpectedly earlier this week. We bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with heavy hearts on behalf of our classmate, our student, our teammate, and our brother, Brandon, and his family. Be with him and his family and comfort them at this time. Assure them that you can and you do work all things for the good of those who love you. We ask that you be with all this at this time who are suffering with the loss of a loved one or the potential loss of a loved one. Allow them to find comfort in the words of your Son, where he says, "Because I live, you also will live." Amen. We continue with the hymn.